You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Real Short Box. Good to be here. My name is Jarrett. Who do we have with us?
My name is Donald. I don't know if that's relevant, but that's my name.
No, it's relevant. People want to know who they're hearing from. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're like, is this going to be another comic book character history? But then you probably read the title of the podcast. Then no, we are bringing back an oldie, but a goodie. We are bringing back our superhero smackdowns. And now, for those of you who are devoted, hardcore, been there since the beginning listeners, you'll remember our superhero smackdowns are where previously it was Donald, Kevin, and I would all come in. Sometimes we'd give each other a heads up, so maybe we don't have any like double ups on a character. But we'd come in with so-and-so versus so-and-so. Like a famous ones I think we had were that get talked about still are like Magneto versus the Hulk, right? That was a big one. I got really big into the team ones. I did God, what was one? I think I had Teen Titans versus the New Mutants. That was a fun one.
It was the Hulk versus Swamp Thing, right?
Hulk versus Swamp Thing. Oh, Magneto versus Superman. That's what right. It was. That's yeah. The one that gets talked about a lot. Yeah, that was yours, if I'm correct.
Right. I convinced you guys that Magneto could take Superman, and that's probably my finest hour.
Yeah, and I don't think any one of us really fought it. I think we're like, yep, yeah, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, and same
thing.
In fact,
I think we all came up. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was gonna say, I think we actually all came up with other ways that we had like various ways that Magneto could beat Superman.
Yeah, yeah, it started to make sense, and everybody got in on it. I think the same thing worked out with Kevin's Swamp Thing versus the Hulk too. It was
right.
It was really just the fact that Swamp Thing is just such a dominant force in nature that you know the Hulk is strongest there is, as far as monsters and humans, but Swamp Thing's neither, really.
Well, and then something we kind of started to figure out early on with the Smackdowns was when you put a DC character against a Marvel character, the Marvel character might even be more popular, but the DC power sets are just so off the charts, it's kind of hard to find, like, a fair fight, you know? Like, I think we definitely squeezed out some or convinced some, but there was a lot that were really hard because, you know, DC characters are like the fastest man in the world or the ultimate weapon, the Green Lantern ring, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was always hard kind of pairing those. So I remember we did get pretty creative.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you have to, definitely.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether it's pairing a DC B or C level character with an A level Marvel character, you know, or just picking the right heroes and the right, you know, if you're looking at the spirit of things of the character themselves, like, you know, Captain America, while not the strongest hero in the world, he doesn't quit. So there's that aspect that you have to
totally take
into consideration.
Right.
So yeah, this one's going to be a little different, though. You've got an interesting matchup. You have somebody that's neither Marvel or DC pairing against a Marvel character.
That's right. I have what I call the Battle of the Mugs. And that is, or as Donald was saying off air, the Battles of the Thuthas. I have The Thing, Marvel's The Thing of the Fantastic Four, versus, I guess, previously Dark Horse, although I think it's on an independent label now, though, The Goon. Eric Powell's The Goon. He owns that character left, right, and center, which is awesome. So, I chose these two characters to duke it out because, yeah, they're just, if you look at these guys side by side, they are the best, like, their faces are just grizzled, like, literally rock. One is just rocky and cut, and the other is like if you just beat a guy to a pulp, but then his face swelled up and it just kept coming at you. That's the Goon. So now, a little backstory, not much, because I want to get to the battle here. The Thing, if you don't know The Thing, then I want you to go outside and shoot yourself in the foot with a BB gun. Nothing, you know, I just want you to have a little pain to just go, wow, I don't know who The Thing is. I'm not going to go far into him. He's super strong. He's from the Fantastic Four. Ben Grimm, the ever-loving blue-eyed Thing. One of the coolest characters I think Marvel ever created. He's just such a lovable Thing. lovable hunk of rock. Great character. Super strong. He's gone toe-to-toe with the Hulk. He's gone toe-to-toe with Gladiator. He doesn't always come out on the winning end, but he can take a punch and he can give a punch. On the other side is Eric Powell's The Goon. Now, The Goon, for those of you who don't know him, if you like reading good comic books, or if you like reading great comic books, run, don't walk, and just start getting the Goon graphic novels. They're so much fun. If you don't know the character, it's basically like film noir meets Universal Monsters. It's a character, The Goon. He's kind of set up. I mean, you find out his backstory later on. It's like very tragic and great, but he's set up as this kind of low level or like local gangster who you don't want to fuck with. And he's got his partner, Frankie, who's this little guy who has a fedora and suspenders and a tank top and a Tommy gun. And his favorite thing is stabbing people in the eye. But the thing that's cool about The Goon is, so yeah, you have this kind of film noir aspect to it, but the bulk of the book is supernatural and monster. So it's like burlesque film noir meets, Romero's like zombie films, and you have him and what he'll fight to the, I mean, he has the most brutal battles with these monsters. He's fought werewolves. He's fought zombies. He's fought like fucking demonic mermaids. Like, you name the monster, he's fought it and come out on top. So they've never really given him a straight up power set, but he's kind of unkillable and he'll fight until the person is standing. So here we go. Does the thing out punch the goon, or does the goon dish out so much punishment Mr. Benjamin Grimm can't take it? So here we go. This is how I'm going to kind of run it. So it's a nice, you know, New York spring day. Ben Grimm, the thing, he's going to go down to Yancey Street. That's where he's from. He's going to go get a brew, go get a nice beer. It's Miller time. He's going to a bar. But what he doesn't know is that Dr. Doom is, you know, because the Dr. Doom is the most nefarious villain of the Fantastic Four, and one of the most nefarious villains in Marvel. Dr. Doom has put an interdimensional portal in the bar. So when the thing walks into the bar, he thinks he's going into his local Yancey Street pub. But what actually happens is he ends up on Lonely Street, where the goon is from. And he enters Norton's bar. Yeah, Norton's bar, the goon's bar. Yeah, Norton. He walks in there.
Is it Ed Norton?
It's been a rough day. No, not Ed Norton. Not Ed Norton. Although it would be funny if Ed Norton, if that was a random thing where Ed Norton ran the bar. You know what? Fuck it. Ed Norton's running this bar. Sorry, Eric Powell, if I'm taking over your world here. Yeah, Ed Norton runs Norton's bar, even though another guy does.
Yeah.
So, thing goes and sits in the bar. The only thing he notices is, hey, maybe it's not the usual, Tuesday afternoon crowd. So he goes to the place, like, let me get a beer. And Ed Norton gives him a beer. And he's like, hey, I love you in Fight Club. And then he's drinking his beer. And now here's the thing. I did not mean to do that. Here's the thing, though. The thing, you know, if you're from a different universe and you see the thing, you're going to think he's a fucking monster, right? Now, what is the goon fight 10 out of 10 times? He's fighting monsters in his world on Lonely Street. He's fighting the priest, who's a crazy, like, voodoo doctor. He brings up zombies and shit. He's fighting werewolves. So he sees this thing walk into the bar and just order a drink. And now he's got to protect his people. Also, he's got to protect his status. He can't just have this monster guy just come into his bar and saddle up like he owns the place. So the goon sends Frankie over. Now, Frankie, if you don't know him, is a hothead, crazy little dude with a Tommy gun. So just as the thing is about to sip his nice cold one, his glass explodes from Tommy gun fire from Frankie.
Oh.
Frankie's like, hey, get your Rocky ass out of here. The goon don't want you in here. We don't need any more monsters of your kind. Because the goon is under the impression that this is just the monster who's going to stir up some shit.
Yeah, so that makes sense.
So next thing we see is the thing. I mean, I'm sorry. Next thing we see is Frankie and the goon flying out of Norton's pub through the window. Because they didn't know what nest of fucking hornets they just rattled. So things like, all right, we got to take care of this, goes outside. Now, Frankie's like, shit, I'm out of this. I'm just going to sit down and watch. Goon's like, let me take care of this, Frankie. He starts going toe-to-toe with the thing. They're just dishing out back and forth, punching and punching and punching. Finally, the thing is getting the upper hand. He's on top of him, just beating him to a pulp. Now, the goon is taking this because he can. And right as he's about to deliver the final blow, Frankie says his favorite line, knife to the eye, as he stabs the ever-loving blue-eyed thing in one of his ever-loving blue eyes. This sends the thing... This sends the thing reeling back and gives the goon the break he needed. He flies over to him. He starts bashing him over the head with a wrench, with just smacking him with anything that's nearby. He takes a crowbar, just beating the ever-loving shit out of the thing. The thing is just a rocky mess on the ground. When what happens when all of a sudden, at this point, the priest who conjures up zombies, he's the biggest thorn in the goon side, starts having zombies just start raiding Norton's pub, and they're attacking people. The goon kind of stops and sees this. The thing sees it. The thing gets up and starts fighting the zombies. The goon sees this. He's like, oh shit, I had this guy all wrong. Start fighting the zombies together. They're beating them up. They're realizing, like, you know, hey, this is just a misunderstanding as those things happen. So after a bunch of zombie ass kicking, the goon and the thing saddle up to the bar. They're about to have a drink. And right before they have their drink, thing punches the goon's beer through his glass straight to the goon's face, knocking him on his ass out cold. And he's like, you got one. I got one. So I'm going to give this, at the end of the day, to the ever-loving blue-eyed thing.
Smart. Nice. Yeah, I would say, I don't want to say the goon is dumb, but I think the thing's got a little more common sense on him.
A little more common sense, and like, whereas the goon has gone toe-to-toe with, like I said, every monster you could think of, fucking the thing has fought Galactus, you know, and Doom, and... you know, El Diablo and all these other crazy characters who have all a variety of different attacks and different, you know. So he's fought the Hulk. So, you know, he's gone toe to toe with the Brutus of the Brutes, you know. So the goon, who I definitely would give kudos to being able to, like, just hold his own and dish out more punishment than you would think. At the end of the day, I think he's just he's one beer short of a six pack when he's gonna in completing a battle with the thing.
Yeah. Plus, the thing in recent Marvel comic stories beat the Hulk. Like, he literally beat the Hulk.
They finally had him. They finally gave him his day.
Yeah.
Beat the Hulk. I didn't know that. Yeah. Wow.
They finally gave him his day. He was a bloody fucking pulp. And by the way, underneath his rock, they showed there's like meat. There's like bloody meat underneath.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was gross. It's nasty.
Was it Bruce Banner Hulk, or was it like some other variation?
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure it was Bruce Banner Hulk.
Okay. Awesome. Well, good for you, buddy. I'm proud of you, Thing. I'm proud of you, the Thing.
The Thing. The Thing, the Thing, the Thing. Yeah, that's a great one. All right, so I'm happy. I think that that turned out as it should have. Although, you know, there was a few left field things, like them grabbing drinks and the zombies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I have something myself, something. I don't have that particular thing. But I do have something that you might find interesting as far as my SmackDown is concerned.
Bring it on.
Now, I went a little left field on mine. I ended up, I'm going to go with a rather popular Marvel character, is Deadpool. Yeah, sure. So I'm going to go with Deadpool, and he's going to be fighting the Creeper.
Nice.
Now, the Creeper is a DC Comics book character. Okay, so I'm going to give a little breakdown on the Creeper, just because no one probably knows who the Creeper is. Creeper, also known by his alias Jack Ryder, is a fictional character, of course, and he was created by Steve Ditko in DC Comics. He's portrayed as a former talk show host dressed in a wild costume with a green, yellow, and red color scheme. He's characterized by super strength, agility, stamina, and what I didn't know, a healing factor, enabling to heal from virtually any wound. Physically painful laughter and proficiency in martial arts. Most of his physical powers and abilities are the results and the effects of serums and devices invented by scientist Dr. Vincent Yates. So the Creeper's intended to actually, when he was created, to be a heroic counterpart to the villainous Joker.
Is that what, I mean, I obviously knew there was like the similarities, but that's what he was supposed to be, the heroic counterpart.
Yep.
That's great.
The connection goes deeper too, because the injection that Dr. Yates gave him was apparently tainted with Joker venom.
Oh, wow.
So there is some Joker inside the Creeper, which is why we have that kind of a Jekyll and Hyde fighting back and forth. Mm-hmm. So let's dig a little bit deeper into the Creeper. How that rhymed.
Deeper to the Creeper.
Deeper in the Creeper. So in Bruce Wayne, The Road Home, Outsiders. That's an actual story. Bruce Wayne, The Road Home, Outsiders. It's revealed that he once dated Vicki Vale. So the Creeper, Jack Ryder, actually dated Vicki Vale. He probably got a little something from Vicki.
Well, that makes sense because he is a journalist and she's a journalist. So I mean, his alter ego. So that would make sense. Yeah.
So he attempted to rescue, actually, the scientist named Dr. Yates, who mobsters headed by gangster Angel Devlin had kidnapped in order to obtain his newest discoveries. The chief mobster hosts a masquerade party at his mansion. So to gain entry to rescue this guy, Ryder improvises a costume from yellow tights, facial makeup designed to look like skin, a green wig and trunks with red gloves, boots, and a furry cloak. So Ryder locates Yates inside, but the mobsters discover him and first shoot at him, but then finally stab him, wounding Ryder. Yates then injects Ryder with a serum and implants a device in his wound. The serum confers the power to almost insanity, healing any wound, and grants Ryder enhanced strength and agility. The device used with its activator causes the costume to disappear, leaving Ryder naked. He can later change into his formal clothes on command. Yates inadvertently leaves the activator out of the wound, but does not realize this until after the wound had healed. At this point, the mobs just find their victims again, this time killing Yates. So Yates gets his due, I guess.
Oh, poor Yates.
I know, poor Yates. So Ryder discovers that with the activator, he can regain the wild costume whenever he wishes. With it, a crazy laugh and his enhanced physical abilities. So that's the basics of the Creeper. So everybody knows Deadpool, but I don't think everybody knows exactly everything about Deadpool. So I'm just going to break down a little bit about him. He first appeared in New Mutants number 98. Wade Wilson. Is a disfigured mercenary. His primary powers is an accelerated healing factor. His brain cells are similarly affected as far as the healing factor is concerned, with dying neurons being rejuvenated. This allows Deadpool to recover from any head wound and renders him nearly invulnerable to psychic and telepathic powers.
I didn't know that.
Okay, I did not know that as well. Deadpool's body is highly resistant to most drugs and toxins due to his accelerated factor of healing. It's extremely difficult for him to become intoxicated, for example.
That sucks. Poor guy.
He's basically immortal. Deadpool is an extraordinary athlete, an expert swordsman and marksman. He is skilled in the use of multiple weapons, including katanas, knives, grenades, and guns. He's really good with, just overall acrobatics. One big thing that I know that we all kind of know, but maybe it hasn't been hit home yet. Deadpool is aware that he's a fictional character. Mm-hmm. And this is what I love. I looked him up a little bit. I dug a little bit into his Wikipedia, because I always skim Wikipedia when I'm looking up these guys, just to get a little general knowledge. And in Wikipedia, it states, he uses this knowledge, since Deadpool's aware that he is a fictional character, he uses this knowledge to his advantage to deal with opponents or gain knowledge to which he should not normally have access, such as reading past issues of his and others' comics. For example, Deadpool knows he has a Wikipedia article and hopes his fans keep his page updated.
Oh, that's so meta. I love that. That's
right?
Great. That's so very great.
Cool. Very cool. So now that we know a little bit about the Creeper and we know a lot of it about Deadpool, let's get right to it. I have a feeling that this is going to go down pretty quick at first. So basically, the Creeper and Deadpool both respond to some villainous attack that's taking place. They both show up after either the X-Men or the Justice League have taken care of said villain or issue. Makes sense when you think about it. Both will think the other is the villain when they show up and the battle begins. Since the Creeper is unpredictable, we would think that he would have some type of strategy. Unfortunately, Deadpool is kind of bonkers, so this will even out that strategy, especially with the fourth wall taking place. So Deadpool knows a lot about what the Creeper is going to do and a lot about what the Creeper's about. He's probably read some of his comics. Creeper strikes first as Deadpool makes some funny quips. He cuts him deep with his talons/fingers right across his throat, basically trying to shut Deadpool up and eliminate him so he'll bleed out. Deadpool covers his throat as it heals. He makes a funny comment, then slashes off the Creeper's right hand. Shocking the poor anti-hero, Deadpool quips, "I'm the good guy here. Was just trying to lend a hand." So automatically we're leading to this smart ass thing. So it's going to go at this point. It starts out really quickly. It's going to continue to go quickly in a way, but it's going to take a long time. So this kind of thing, this back and forth, is going to take place for hours upon hours, which is going to turn into days. Eventually, these guys are going to be taking so many chunks out of each other, their healing factor, the regeneration process is going to slow, and they're going to start to look like the Black Knight from Monty Python. With Deadpool throwing out quips and the Creeper just laughing insanely, rats running off with pieces of their unregenerated bodies. It's just the way it is. We saw the movie. We saw the little tiny feet and stuff that he had growing because you know, that's a little slower. So you're going to see stuff like that. After a few months, their bodies are going to become a local tourist attraction. Many people are going to be walking over to see the two tattered heroes shout nasty obscenities at each other while Deadpool continues to joke on and on and on. Pictures are going to be taken. Things are going to happen. Plants are actually going to start to grow up through them and into them. At one point, one of them might become even part of a tree. We don't know. Because this is going to continue on and on for hundreds of years. As we near year 800, the Creeper has really had enough. Jack Ryder, that human element of the Creeper, has kind of leached back in. He longs to be human once more. He wants his life to end. He wants it to be over. The Creeper wants to move on. He wants to move out of this tattered body and into something that he can continue on doing what he does. So in this comes the deal. Now, we've had a long time to create said deal in our minds. And Deadpool, while, you know, a bit insane at times, he's pretty clever in his own way. So he strikes a deal with the Creeper. With the Creeper inside of Jack Ryder, the demonic element, so to speak. He says, if I carry on the blood of the Creeper, if I carry on the mantra of the Creeper, would you let Jack go peacefully? And then that way we can both get out of here. If we both can use our regenerative abilities, since it's faded over time, since we're so weak in our regenerative abilities, if we can combine those, maybe we can create one being and become, again, who we were meant to be. Well, the Creeper, you know, he doesn't really think twice about that. He wants in on this deal. So he basically just sacrifices himself so Deadpool can absorb the blood of the Creeper and carry that inside of him, creating the future's newest, most smart-ass-ish superhero, Creeperpool. the Dead Creeper. Whichever you prefer at this point, because that's going to be the ongoing joke that he's going to have. So now we have the Creeperpool, a.k.a. the Dead Creeper, going around making a smart ass quips, being somewhat hauntingly scary in a way, more Creeper-esque, to be able to bring out that demon-esque type of personality of the Creeper, because you have the Joker blood in there. So it's right. Maybe even a little more unstable, but he's a complete human being. He's a new anti-hero, and he's 800 years in the future. So that is my smackdown for the Creeper versus Deadpool.
Jesus Christ. I'd buy that for a dollar. Jesus. So would you say technically Deadpool 1?
Yes, or, I would say Deadpool 1, but with the caveat that the Creeper's still alive. He's still within Deadpool. So in a way, the Creeper also won. But the big winner would be Deadpool in this one, because he did get to walk away with his whole body intact, and he did get to put Jack Ryder to rest. So I would say yes, Deadpool wins this one.
I just love this idea of like a corner of a city that just becomes a trademark of like, yeah, throughout the years, it's just a tourist spot. They're like, oh, do you want to go over and see the Deadpool Creeper fight? Because they're just like, you know, everybody knows it's just going to be going on. You know, you just see pieces of these guys just all over the place. Just
right.
Regenerating. But much like
any attraction, you know, things get kind of old and people forget about stuff. So eventually, they over hundreds of years, they forgot about them and they've grown into things. So being able to rejuvenate and revitalize themselves by combining their bodies in a way, it enables them to break free. And I would write that book. I mean, they have Old Man Logan, Old Man Hawkeye, and all this shit. I'd write Old Man Deadpool in a heartbeat.
Oh, I love it. Well, I also love the, it would always be like, who, he'd have to have like fans vote for it. Do you want Creeper Pool or Dead Creep, or Dead Creeper?
Right. In fact, we may or may not have a Instagram thing of that nature coming out to where people can vote on what they prefer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, as you're listening to this, you will have already probably seen our Instagram. We'll do maybe a poll or something to see who you think would win. Obviously, we're going to tell you who wins. But we'll have some kind of poll that you've probably already seen.
Yeah, you hopefully would have already seen it before you listen to this pod. Otherwise, spoilers.
Yeah. Well, damn. Those are some good, to jump back into the Smackdowns, we definitely got down and dirty. I mean, fights and just a slice and dice massacre fest of people who can regenerate their bodies.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this was fun. This is a fun one. I think probably what's going to happen is we're going to leave it up to you, the audience, to decide on what you want us to do. Do you want us to continue with these Smackdowns? Would you prefer more spotlights, things like that? I'm sure we'll do both. But we can lay heavy on one or the other, depending on what you prefer. Reach out to us. Reach out to us on Twitter. Reach out to us on Instagram, Facebook. You could reach out to us on rumblespoon.com. We're available there. You could email us. You could send smoke signals. You could stop at Jared's house and just knock on his door. I'm sure he would love that.
Yeah, actually, what I prefer is if you do Morse code through a lighthouse tower, that would be great. So I'll be on a
that
ship,
works.
And then you can kind of tell me you want.
Personally, I like Christmas lights that glow in particular patterns, so I can decipher a code based upon that.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
Maybe a phone, that's my phone on fire. I don't know.
Or I can send you a Zodiac Killer cipher and totally creep you.
Jesus God, no thank you.
Sorry. please. Oh, and if you want to go check out some of the older Smackdowns, go back and listen to the older episodes.
Yeah,
some of
the, I think that's important.
The earlier
that's
ones, important. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely check us out on, all of our past Smackdowns. There's some really good ones. So go to YouTube, go to iTunes. What else are we available on? We're available on...
We're on Stitcher, right?
Spreaker.
We're on Stitcher, where you can see us do video games.
Spotify, Blueberry, I believe, is another one. So we're on quite a bit. Google Play Music. Yeah.
We're at Pinkberries, the ones that are still open. You can go see us there.
Live broadcasting from Pinkberries. Actually, we're also doing a live broadcast pretty much every other week At We Can Be Heroes as well in Chatsworth, California. Now, Jarrett's not technically... Jarrett's a part of the Real Short Box, don't get me wrong, but he's not there physically. So he's with us in spirit. He always comments when we do the live podcast there, and he always has some good input. So we always appreciate that. So thank you, Jarrett.
Yeah, check out the live pods. They're super fun. You can ask questions as is. And usually there's a theme for them. I think the last one was prospecting. Also, you just get to see some killer books. The books you guys were showing at We Could Be Heroes were insane. I mean, literally, like, everything you guys were like, oh, and how about that first appearance of Shang-Chi? And then somebody comes up with the first appearance of Shang-Chi. Or, you know, a Spotlight 5 first Ghost Rider. I was just like, geez, they got a really good collection there.
Yeah, so, not intentional either. Just like accidental, just talking about it. And then we're like, oh, wait, over here in the case, you know? They have a ton
Those are bookstores you definitely want to go to.
Right. We can't finish out without mentioning our sponsor, Spiro's Heroes. They have a plethora of books. Great, great books. I just recently bought the first appearance of Captain Marvel there as Captain Marvel. Very happy to add that into my collection. And Elliot Spiro there, the proprietor of the shop, he was happy to give me some discount, so you can always go in there and expect good deals at Spiro's Heroes, and just tell them the Real Short Box sent you. And if we don't see you there at Spiro's Heroes, maybe we'll see you someplace else. Maybe we'll see you at
the comic shop.
This has been the Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.